Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Good, glorious, beautiful, magnificent day to you. I'm Bishop Randy Dean. As you just heard, you are tuned in to the No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love. I believe lesser values than love are simply BS. Bait and switch. What did you think I meant? Well, it'll mean just about anything you can wrap your head around, as long as you understand that lovelessness leads you to BS. We will manipulate, we will scourge people, we'll do almost anything when we don't love, because we will become selfish and self-determining. We will not live our fullest, most potential-filled life. And I want to talk to you about that today, to live a fully potential life, a life that is full of its own potential, created for love, landing in love, living for love. On that note, living for love, I want to share with you once again what I am offering every episode of the No BS Bishop, what I call Love's Creed. It's something I wrote some years ago, and it is something now that I am proposing over and over and over again, much like the Apostles' Creed that you might recite in church. But here's my Love's Creed. I'm alive to love. I am not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I am not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. Now let me repeat it for you again with just the pause in between the phrases so that you can say it with me, all right? I'm alive to love. I am not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. So there you have my Love's Creed. It's what I believe should be everybody's creed at some level. It doesn't have to be my specific creed. I'm rather proud of it because I did create it, and I think I have a reason to be proud of those words because it's something I've worked hard on. And speaking of being proud of something, I am proud of this project. I'm proud of the No BS Bishop Alive to Love project because it is helping folks unpack the depth, the height, the width of love. I'm not suggesting on any level that I've got it all figured out. I am not Doctor of Love Randy Dean. I am Randy Dean, the human being who's been through a variety of highs and a variety of lows when it comes to love. When I've taught and preached on love through my years as a pastor, I've had the unfortunate event happen to me repeatedly. When I preach or teach on love, somebody will almost regularly come to me and say, well, you didn't love me when, and then fill in the blank, or I didn't think you were being very loving when. And I used to take some deep offense to that until I learned that I could own that. I could simply say, you're right. I'm not perfect at it. I'm far from perfect at this grand subject of love. No more than a painter could say, I have painted the Sistine Chapel ceiling just like Michelangelo. No, nobody can repeat that magnificent treasure. They could try. They could do some kind of rendition of it, but nobody could repeat that. It's unique all and of itself. And I believe love is that treasure that is beckoning every human being to live into that magnificence. And to suggest that anybody's got it all worked out, that anybody's got it all figured out, that anybody has everything about love figured out is ludicrous. Now, and on that same note, I want to make sure that you hear me say, I believe that love is so vital to the human experience that we simply must unpack it. We absolutely must study, meditate, browse and consider, take it into some contemplative depth of our heart to let every day have something that leads us toward the consideration of love. How can I grow in my love quotient? My New Year's resolution is that I will daily deepen my love quotient, daily deepening it so that it isn't static. It isn't just at some level where I've gotten lazy and said, "Nah, that's it. That's all I want to know about love." I want to know more about love to the day that I take my last breath on this earth. And then when I leave this earth into another dimension, whatever that looks like, I want to ascend into the arms of love. I want to ascend into the eternality of love so that love will be my constant education throughout all eternity. Saint Isaac the Syrian, one of the church fathers, said this: "In love did God bring the world into existence. In love is God going to bring it to a wondrous, transformed state. And in love will the world be swallowed up in the great mystery of the one who has performed all these things. In love will the whole course of governance of creation be finally comprised." Ladies and gentlemen, that says it all for me in the best form and shape that I can right now in this moment. That all of the course of human history is headed toward the beautiful climax of love being expressed, experienced, and brought forth. "For the glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea," is what we read in scriptures. I am convinced that there is so much of love for us to know that all of eternity will be the classroom. It'll be the lecture hall. It'll be the experience. It'll be the laboratory of how great and grand, expansive love genuinely is. Love creates. Love develops. Love is ever expanding at the speed of light, 186,000 miles per second. It is not stuck in one place. When I hear people who want to discuss or argue the point that, well, you can't just love, I recoil. Something in me just shivers when I hear those words, because it exposes how so many of us, and I'm saying us, have lived in the shallows of love. We've lived in the kiddie pool end of the swimming pool of love. We haven't gone to the high dive. We much less swam the river, much less sailed the oceans. We've stayed in the kiddie pool side of love, where we have said, "Well, I love everybody. That's it. That's all I need to know." No, there's so much more to explore. I'm alive to love. Remember love's creed? I'm alive to love, not eating, breathing, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. This is again the creed of my life that I'm sharing with you, and I'm inviting you to join me in an adventure, in a journey, in a pilgrimage toward love, and understand the depths of love. Love creates. It is a creative energy. It is a creative energy that will build more spirituality into your being. The spirituality of every human being is one of the aspect of love that deserves all of our life and all of eternity. My spirituality is not limited to moments that I'm in church, though I feel the atmosphere of spirituality there, though I'm not experiencing it. And love takes me to a spirituality that nothing else can replace. Nothing else is quite that profoundly spiritual or practically spiritual. And that's the next thing that love creates, is practicality. You see, love is what causes anybody to arise and shine in any given day and ask of themselves, how can I do this task with greater love? Mother Teresa said, we cannot do great things. We can only do small things and with great love. You see, I think sometimes we fool ourselves to think, I'm going to do a great thing for God. I'm going to live a great adventure for God. And I would suggest that's noble, but while it is noble, it may not be practical. We cannot do great things, but we can do small things with great love. Small gestures, small words, small moments, small tokens, small apprehension of the moment, to pay attention to what's happening in any given moment, and to see that not only is love a great depth of spirituality, but it is a great depth of practicality, to do small things, every little thing you can, with great love. I remember walking through a grocery store with a great friend of mine whose family owned a chain of grocery stores in Texas. And this friend of mine was, as we were walking through this grocery store, we were just after one or two things that we needed for some kind of meeting we were at. And as we were walking through this grocery store, he kept going to the stock shelves and arranging cans. I kept thinking, well, he's going to pick up something else that we didn't think we were here for, but he would just go to the stock shelf and arrange cans so you could see the labels facing toward the aisle, or he would fill in the gaps of certain parts of the stock shelves so that the cans were full forward, or a bottle was fully shown or fully filling a space. And I said, what are you doing? That, oh, it's just a lifetime habit from the time I was a kid with any kind of opportunity or ability to work. My dad put me to work stocking shelves, and he said, and the first thing I learned was, it's all the little things that matter. It's making sure those shelves look stocked, even if they're not fully stocked. It's making sure those cans are facing the aisle so people can see the brand or the merchandise that they came specifically to find. It reminds me of what I'm saying here. Practicality. Love creates practicality. Love is practical because it will do every little thing with great love. Love creates purpose. I've often said I'm on this earth for one thing, love. But somebody would say, but I thought you were called to preach. Oh yes, I am. I know it. I know it from the top of my head to my soul to the tips of my toes. I know I'm called to preach. But I also know that if it is not love that is the driving beauty of it, then all my preaching is just a sounding gong. It's just a bunch of noise, and it has no real value in the world in which I live. I believe, you know, in fact, 1 Corinthians 13 says, if I can prophesy, if I can speak to the mountain and it be plucked up and moved, but I have not love, it is nothing. I believe the greatest way I can know what God's will for my life is to know that the will of God for my life is love. Every other calling flowers up from the soil of love. Love creates spirituality, practicality, and purpose. And last but not least, I want to talk to you about having hope. Hope is that ethereal, transcendent, mystical experience, small or great, that when we have this sense that, oh my, I can do better. Oh my, there's an opportunity. Oh my goodness, that's what can be done in my life. Hope is that emotion. I think hope has as much emotion as it has anything else going on for it. The fire of hope is an emotion. And when you live with hope, you live with a sense. Now listen to me carefully. You live with a sense, a powerful sense, that you can own your regrets. Because until you fully own your regrets, then hope is living just a little shy of what it could be in our life. You see, I'm convinced that, you know, I know people say, I have no regrets. And I heard that all my life. And it was somewhere back in my, I don't know, my middle age, 30s or 40s, something occurred to me that, you know, I do have regrets. I do have regrets. And when I owned that inside of me, that my regrets were real, that I wish I had done something different or better or more loving, suddenly Hope began to be more of a rich, had more of a rich sense about it, a more rich atmosphere around it, because I could claim without being ashamed that I've made mistakes as it relates to my hopes, and I do have regrets. So when I am asked, do you have any regrets? I say, oh, yes, I do. Have you got an hour or two? I could give you a list of my regrets. And I've done that for a long time. I'm not asking anybody else to agree with that necessarily. I mean, you can say I have no regrets if you want. But here's where I live and breathe and eat and sleep. Brené Brown's The Atlas of the Heart, this wonderful book. And now I've heard that it is now an HBO series. I have got to see that. But she says in her book, The Atlas of the Heart, the idea of no regrets doesn't mean living with courage. It means living without reflection. To live without regret is to believe we have nothing to learn, no amends to make, no opportunity to be braver with our lives, and I would add, and no opportunity to love more profoundly. So love has hope because love can own its own regrets. Love can say, I regret falling short of saying to my children, saying to my grandchildren, saying to my spouse, saying to my friends, I love you, with a profound connection to who they are in my life. You see, love creates, and if in our creation of a life of love, we have missed the mark, or we have not given ourselves the opportunity to finish a project with love, well, then a regret can come along and give us the opportunity to own some disappointment, not to be afraid of disappointment. You know, I think sometimes we're more willing to just say, well, I'm disappointed, and brush it off without real reflection. Why are you disappointed? What happened in your course of life that took you to a disappointment? I've often said, listen, if you are disappointed, go ahead and express it. Just make sure that in your disappointment, you are aimed at being reappointed. So, see, I believe that if you are disappointed, that really love was in there somewhere. You know, love is that which exposes you to the possibility of disappointment, to see that sometimes what we love did not love us back, and that's disappointing. And then if we understand that we've made mistakes along the way as we've not received love in return, then we have regrets, and they are legitimate and can be expressed without being morose or you know, just deadly depressed. That's not the point of regret. The point of regret is to discover your potential and live toward it again, to rise again and shine again, to give yourself the opportunity. So I'm convinced that when we are disappointed, when hopes were dashed, or lost, or stolen, when we found ourselves betrayed or turned aside with little consideration for what our potential was, that can lead us to the sense of disappointment that can also lead us to a reappointment. See, as I'm recording this right now in early April, we're in the season of Lent. Lent is, maybe it is strange, but I consider Lent to be some of the most beautiful times of my life. I've discovered who I really am through Lent. Not that I gave up something to discover something, but that I allowed myself the opportunity to genuinely walk with Jesus through his passion, to genuinely walk through the steps that Christ took toward his crucifixion and ultimately his resurrection. I think it's important to slow life down once in a while, and Lent is a time to slow it down and look at our disappointments, look at our betrayals. Once again, not to live there, but to love there, to discover something about love that is more real and beautiful for our living forward. To know that when we have loved, we will be rewarded, but perhaps in the short term, love puts us in a terribly vulnerable place. And if you don't believe that's true, think about the passion of Jesus Christ. Think about what was his experience in the Garden of Gethsemane when he cried out with loud cries, Father, let this cup pass from me, but if not, your will be done. There was such pressure and angst on him that he sweat drops of blood. And within moments of that prayer, within moments of being stretched out in a truly profound, real drama, within moments of that, the ultimate expression of love was used in betrayal. You know what that is, right? The kiss of Judas. You see, I'm more convinced now of that Judas's kiss may have been real in his own mind, thinking that, hey, this I'm really still your friend. See what I'm doing? I really mean this well. But Jesus knew the nature of the human beast, and he knew that that kiss was not going to end well for Judas or for the whole experience of that particular time. But Jesus knew this. Now listen to me carefully. This is why I'm bringing it up. That with the kiss of betrayal, shortly after his prayer in Gethsemane, Jesus steeled himself to be reappointed, though he was deeply, profoundly disappointed. Were there regrets in Jesus' life? I would suggest there was a holy regret in that moment when he looked at the friend who kissed him on the cheek. Don't have time to unpack all of that. Maybe I shouldn't have brought it up, but listen to me carefully. Regret is the capacity with love to look square in the eye of what your life is looking like at any given moment and to understand that there are always moments of disappointment that we can use and stand on with love, love for self and others, and be reappointed. So today I've told you that we're people of love, and that by love we create spirituality, practicality, purpose, and hope. But last but not least, how do we sustain a love-mindedness? How do we sustain that love-mindedness? Well, that's not easy, as you can tell from everything I've said. It's not easy. A love-mindedness means that I slow my life down enough that I am willing to be contemplative, to be deeply engaged, not morose, not sunk, but engaged with my reality, to be able to hold it with love, even if my reality is painful and deeply, deeply, deeply struggling. I just saw the story of a local media personality, Boyd Huppert, who is battling cancer, and it is a life and death struggle. And one of the things I heard him say as he's battling these stages of recovery from cancer is he said, I've learned a whole new way to meditate. You know what? For me, that's a showstopper right there. A whole new way to meditate. Not because he just won $1 million. Not because he just, you know, had the birth of a brand new grandchild. Not because his children were in a marriage ceremony. Not because of some, you know, wonderful and fun experience. But because he was in deep suffering. He took that suffering and managed it toward a beautiful capacity for meditation. So that's why here on the No BS Bishop, every time you come to hear me, you're gonna have my voice telling you, let's do two things before we get away. Right now, I want you to put your feet flat on the floor. I want you to exercise your lungs with a practicality, but it's also very deeply spiritual. On the count of three, I want you to breathe as deep as you know how, remembering that Jesus said that the Spirit is like the wind, it's like the breeze. And I want you to take in the breath of the Spirit deep into your lungs. On three, one, two, three. Breathe in and exhale. That small exercise, done daily on some level, will slow you down, lower your blood pressure, push aside anxiety, and give you the chance to meditate deeply. I'm a believer in meditation. Why? Because the scriptures, the Bible is full of opportunities to meditate and promises that says those who will meditate on his word will be successful and prosperous. Maybe not with billions of dollars, but a prosperous soul. And the second exercise that I'm going to challenge you to do again is something that I'm known for, and in some cases, folks may not like what I have become known for, and that is I want you to be intentional. Find somebody with whom you can make eye contact and slow the three most charmed magical words in the human language. Slow those three words down and say to someone with eye contact, "I love you." Not in a fraudulent or fake way, but in a practiced meditation of saying to someone the words that maybe they have been aching to hear with real intention, with real purpose, with real passion. That if it's a child or a coworker or somebody in your life that you know is struggling, then give yourself the chance, and them as well, not to do great things, but to do small things with great love, saying, "I love you." I hope you heard me say that to you right now. I can't get eye contact with you through the radio, but I can say with my soul engaged to whoever's listening, "I love you." Now go out there and make this a beautiful day, because you know it, baby. Ugly has been done to death. It's time for people of love to rise and shine and let the world see something beautiful in your face, your eyes, your footsteps, and most of all, in your love-mindedness. Happy trails, y'all.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.